In some churches that I've served or have belonged to, there was a welcome committee, usually a small group of people charged with making sure that people feel welcome in our church. Nothing wrong with that. Over time, though, I began to think of it like having a love committee, a group of people charged with being loving. Put that way, it seems that it's everyone's job to be loving, and perhaps having a love committee winds up being a way for those not on the committee to abdicate their love responsibility. They might say, for example, oh, well, Jerry is on the love committee, and so is Walt, and I think Shirley. They are so good at it. They've got that taken care of. Therefore, I don't have to worry about that. I don't need to be loving. I can come and go without bothering with that. Similarly, without a welcome committee, in the absence of a committee for welcoming, we are more inclined to think of that as each person's responsibility to be a welcomer or a greeter. Now, almost every church you go to will think of themselves and describe themselves as welcoming, whether they are or not in practice. These days, I do think that St. Luke's is truly welcoming most of the time. But we have to stay vigilant about it. It requires being observant and attentive. It requires being intentional. When I was on the Camino de Santiago de Compostela, one of my fellow pilgrims, Kate, would start the day while we were loading up our backpacks and lacing our boots. She would say, "Let's all set our intention for the day." I usually had not had any coffee yet, and for this reason, I felt put upon by her suggestion. I don't want to think. I just wanted to start walking. Plus, it was cold and dark. Let's just get going. But I wonder, what is your intention on Sunday morning when you walk or drive to church? For most of us, we might be thinking about what we hope to get out of it. Nothing wrong with that. We might be looking forward to seeing our friends. Nothing wrong with that either. Or if our coffee has not kicked in yet, we might not be thinking at all. What if we set our intention to learn someone's name? Or maybe while we're on the way, we breathe a little prayer as we walk in the door. Help me see and notice people who are new. Help me be brave and reach out. May I myself be a welcome committee of one. The word welcome is a bit overused. We hear it 6 times in today's gospel in only 3 verses. It is a word that gets overused. I have a mat by my front door that says welcome, or I think it used to say welcome when it was newer. After many a shoe and boot wiping and sun bleaching, no one can really read it anymore. And maybe that's symbolic of the word itself. However, welcome in the biblical sense meant taking someone under your protection, almost like taking in a foster child. The Old Testament prophets often reminded the Hebrew people that they were once strangers, nomads, and aliens, with no land and no place to call home. According to the prophets of old, the way the people were to express their gratitude to God was to offer welcome and offer hospitality to the stranger. This was the mark of their society, a sign that they were a people who belonged to God. It was also a matter of survival. To not offer someone hospitality, at least the basics of water and food and shelter, could mean death in such harsh desert conditions, something like negligent homicide. Deuteronomy chapter 10 says, "You shall love the stranger, for you were once strangers in the land of Egypt." When the Israelites were settled in their own land, living a life of ease now, they needed reminders from the prophets that even if it is no longer a matter of survival, the command of God to love the stranger does not change. The poor, the alien, the orphan, the widow, God cares for these. The oppressed and the disadvantaged and the outcast are to be loved. For the Israelite, the practice of hospitality, of welcoming the stranger, was not to win favor from God. Instead, it was to bear witness to God in a very literal sense. We do this because we know God. Just like in today's gospel, whoever welcomes you welcomes me. Whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. With all of this welcoming going on, it's hard to know who's who. Who's the welcomer? Who is the recipient? Perhaps it is written in this way on purpose. If we welcome the stranger in order to bear witness to God, we might have to change how we think and feel about immigrants, about people who are undocumented. We may have to rethink about the risks we are not willing to take. Then Jesus took it all a step further, as Jesus is prone to do. He welcomed the sinner. He touched the leper, the Samaritan woman, the woman who was bleeding and ritually unclean. As if that were not enough, he also told those pious and devout people, Jews just like himself, stories that sometimes shamed them, like the story of the Good Samaritan. Who was it that helped the man lying on the side of the road, near dead? Was it the priest? Was it the devout, self-righteous person? The one who could most afford it? Or the one whose job it was to take care of such things? No, it was the Samaritan, a person who is the lowliest of the low. That was the deliverer of mercy. And Jesus asks, which one does the will of the Father? I have just one more thought about welcome. On long road trip vacations as a child, I remember watching for the welcome signs as we would pass through one state and into the next, signifying the crossing of another milepost. Welcome to Idaho, great potatoes, tasty destinations. Welcome to Wyoming, ever westward. Welcome to Montana, big sky country. Just as eagerly on the way home, we would watch for the welcome to Minnesota sign with the familiar shape of our state. There it is, and we would point to it. The sign itself says, explore Minnesota. But to us, it said, welcome home, you weary traveler. You are almost there. Not far now, not far at all. So though the word is a bit overused, I think this is the essence of welcome. The meaning of what Jesus is saying in today's gospel. The deepest sense of welcome is the thing we all long for, homecoming. Welcome home, weary traveler. You are loved here. You belong here. You are almost home. The gospel also speaks of being rewarded for being welcoming, specifically welcoming a prophet or a righteous person or a child. Perhaps we think of the reward spoken of in the gospel as the reward of being ourselves welcomed into heaven one day. But there is also an immediate reward that comes with connection and building community, a reward of presence, a reward of friendship. You are almost home. You belong here.